live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show on this Wednesday night following a 5-2 Flames loss on the road in Winnipeg in preseason game number 7 of 8. One more to go, and we've got lots to talk about on our Flames Talk postgame show. Let's kick it off by going from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's head back to Canada Life Center in Winnipeg right now and join Derek Wills from the Flames dressing room right now.
Thanks, Pat. Joined outside of the Flames dressing room by defenseman Jake Bean, who had an assist tonight and played almost 20 minutes, 18 minutes and 35 seconds. Jake, it was good to see you back on the ice and back in the lineup tonight. Your thoughts on this 5-2 loss to the Jets this evening?
Yeah, I think we played pretty good there for two periods, and then they kind of just came out in the third and capitalized on the things that we maybe didn't do the way we wanted to. We probably could take 40 good minutes out of this one.
You had an opportunity to play in a pairing tonight with a fellow making his Flames preseason debut at times. You know, we saw Kevin Ball out there with Tyson Barrie, but saw you in a pairing with Daniil Mirimanov for a good chunk of the night. How'd you feel playing with him this evening?
Yeah, pretty good. It was pretty steady. We were kind of, wasn't a ton of O-zone, wasn't a ton of D-zone, a little bit of neutral zone, got some breakouts. So it was pretty steady, and we got to get the feel of each other kind of as the game went on, so it was good.
You've been through a bunch of these training camps and preseasons. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what your preseason record is. You just want to set yourself up for success when the regular season starts. Hard to believe that that is now 1 week away. The Flames will play their first regular season game against the Canucks in Vancouver next Wednesday. What's going to be important? You've got one preseason game to go and some practices between now and then. What do you guys have to do to get ready to try to win that season opener a week from tonight?
Yeah, definitely your record maybe not important in preseason, but the habits that you build and the kind of the way you come playing out of preseason is important. So it'll be important for us to have a good game on Friday, make sure our habits are right, make sure we're playing the way we want to play. So come next week, we're kind of just rolling with it. We know what we need to do and how we need to play.
Well, Jake, as we've talked about, the Flames had 6 or 7 regulars dressed tonight. The Jets probably 14 or 15. So I think you guys did a pretty good job hanging in there following 40 minutes. Unfortunately, your first regulation loss of the preseason, but another tune-up for the regular season. Thanks for doing this, and good luck to you and the guys on Friday night.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Jake Bean joining us from outside the Flames dressing room. We now send it back to the downtown studio and to Pat Steinberg.
All right, from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show. 5-2 final score. Flames fall to the Winnipeg Jets. They fall to 5-1-1 this preseason. 7 down, 1 to go in the 2024 exhibition schedule. Let's rejoin Megan Mickelson, who joins us from Canada Life Center in Winnipeg right now, the color voice of the Calgary Flames. Mick, just kind of one of those nights where Flames hung tough through 40 for sure, but that veteran Jets team, they flexed a little bit in the third period, which, you know, you kind of expect on nights like this, if especially as that other team, the Jets team, they're trying to get themselves ramped up for the regular season as well. So I don't know if it was a massive surprise to see the way things went in period number 3.
It was really good to see the way that the Flames played, and we just heard Jake talk about it, those first 40 minutes. Some really good things, I think, to take away. I talked about it on the broadcast, and it's sort of a boring part of the game for a lot of people, but their structure in the neutral zone, and it's something that Ryan Huska talks a lot about. It's really important to be able to kill the plays and kill the speed of your opponents in the neutral zone, and especially the first 40 minutes of the game. I thought they did a really nice job of that. But like you said, just some of the puck movement from the Jets was just dynamite, especially that first power play goal that Ehlers scored. Like, I mean, that's an elite power play right there. Doesn't matter who's out on the ice defending them. That's still a puck in the back of the net. So, like you said, they did flex a little bit, but give the Flames credit for hanging in the way that they did. I also think that, like, as a player, traveling the day of a game it's a lot harder than people think that it is. And you start to feel it more so. You feel it, I would say, in the first 5 minutes of the game in trying to get your legs going, flush out any of the garbage lactic acid that you have kind of sitting there. But also in the third period, you know, players are very routine in the way that they get ready for games. A lot of guys take naps. I know it sounds like a thing that's kind of a luxury, but being able to play at home or even to have the day in a hotel, you can nap, rest, make sure that from a physical standpoint, you're ready to go, you're fueled properly. So when you travel the day of a game, you kind of run out of steam in the third period a little bit at times. So I do wonder if there was a little bit of that also.
Mick, I wanted to ask you, our marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. On our pregame show, Vix and I were talking about, you know, pressure on for Jacob Pelche in this game because, hey, it's been an underwhelming camp for him and you know, perhaps he finds himself behind a few other forwards on this list. What did you make? I thought through 40 minutes especially, but even in that third period, I thought Jacob Pelche had definitely his best game of the preseason. He looked engaged. He was good on the penalty kill. The motor was going. It felt more like the Jacob Pelche that we're used to seeing and the Flames want to see.
Yeah, I thought it was really good to see, and especially for him to have one of his stronger games against, I would say, the strongest opponent that the Flames have faced in the preseason. That says a lot as well. And then just the amount of pressure that he was facing in this game in terms of an evaluation standpoint, you want players in your lineup that can perform under pressure. So I think there's something really good to be said right there too. So it was good to see Jacob Pelche have more of an on night than we've seen in this preseason. And I know you were there this morning when he was chatting with the media, and you know, he mentioned he's very aware of his situation, and he said, I don't want to go down on waivers. So he is fighting for his job, and it was good to see him have a good night.
Before I forget, let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. We'll do that in just a second. That's our marquee matchup, though, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. Let's get to tonight's hardest working Flame. Mick, who'd you like for that one this evening?
Oh, I would give honorable mentions to Kevin Ball. I thought that, you know, stat line wise, no points, but that's not what he's there for. But I thought he had a really strong game, and I was keeping a really close eye on him in the defensive zone in particular. And he's impressive with his positioning, that's for sure. Also like Jacob Pelche's game, as I just mentioned. But one guy that really stood out to me and I thought had a really strong game was Cole Schwint. And I think the way that he played with a lot of speed up the middle. He was the best centerman in the faceoff circle on a night that the Flames struggled with faceoffs. He was the best at 53% and only played 12 minutes, but I thought that they were an impactful 12 minutes. So yeah, just liked his speed, the simplicity with which he played. He did his job, and I think that he elevated the play of his two wingers in Jacob Pelche and Martin Ferk.
Yeah, that line, by the way, 83% possession. They were on the ice for 1-4, none against. Scoring chances were 5-2, including 2-1 at high danger. Really solid line. By far the best line tonight for the Flames this evening. Cole Schwint, your hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson. Just before we let you go, just a thought on Dustin Wolf's night. He allows 5 on 27, but geez, there were some, like those, all three of them in the third period were a result of some mistake, and right there, high danger opportunity. I'm just curious your thoughts on Dustin Wolf and his full 60 tonight.
I mentioned it towards the end of our broadcast, just that I think it's been impressive the way that he's played, and he has played all of his starts have come on traveling day of game.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, especially as a goaltender. So I thought he came in. He had a really solid game given that early on. The goals that did go in, I mean, you can't fault him really on any of them if you think back. I do wonder, you know, the pre-scouts on him obviously are going to be shoot up high. And that the last two goals that the Jets scored, they were cannon of shots up high. But in saying that also, you know, the Flames, you can't give up point blank shots in the high slot on any goaltender. Doesn't matter who's in the net. With the way the guys shoot now, nobody's stopping those. So he's been really impressive, and he should be very happy with his game. One other thing that I really liked about his game tonight in particular was his puck play. The way that he played the puck, he looked calm and composed and made some really smart reads.
Fly home safe, my friend. We'll see you on Thursday. Thank you, Mick.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson signing off from Canada Life Center as the Flames lose for the first time in regulation this preseason. 5-2, your final score. The Jets take this one at Canada Life Center. These two teams will meet again on Friday night at the Dome. Both teams will be wrapping up their preseason. So the Flames are now 5-1-1 in the 2024 exhibition schedule. Lots to dive into on our Flames Talk postgame show on this Wednesday night. The phone lines are open. A little earlier start, so you can jump in line right now. 403-240-4444. Earlier night, so if you want to jump in on the phone lines, tonight might be a good night. So give us a call, 403-240-4444. Get your texts in at 960-960. A lot of guys fighting for spots in this game tonight. What did you think, or what did you make of Jacob Pelche's night? What did you make of Tyson Berry's night? What did you make of Hunter Brustevich's night? And a number of others. Dustin Wolf, Connor Zeri down the middle. There's lots to get to on our Flames Talk postgame show. So phone lines, 403-240-4444. Text line, 960-960. One more preseason game to go in 2024, and that comes up on Friday night. My name is Pat Steinbrick. Flames Talk post games available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll dive right in on all of our analysis around the corner. Stay with us. It's your Flames Talk post game show. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Your final score from Winnipeg. The Flames fall 5-2 to the Jets to wrap up the road portion of their preseason schedule in 2024. One more game to go in 2024 preseason, and that is Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Dome against the Winnipeg Jets. Flames Talk postgame is underway. It's Pat Steinbrick along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully your Wednesday night is going along nicely. And I thought it was a generally solid night for the Flames. I thought that, you know, lineup-wise, when you take a look at the lineups that both teams iced, the Jets had the likes of some of their best players in the lineup. Shifley, Connor, Ehlers, Niederreiter, Morrissey, Hellebuck. Like, they had their big guns going. The Flames did not. You know, their most experienced NHL forward or was Anthony Mantha. They did not have any of their, outside of Jake Bean and Miramanov, did not have any of their top three on defense, that's for sure. Kevin Ball back, and he made his Flames preseason debut, so there's a little bit of an adjustment that goes on there. So, you know, I thought it was, all things considered, a pretty good effort preseason-wise for the Flames, especially knowing that, you know, they did not have a lot of their big guns going themselves. That'll be different on Friday when they'll ice pretty close, not fully, but pretty close to their opening night lineup. They'll still have a few names in there. Like, I wonder if Pelche gets in there for one more. I think Hanzek will get in there for one more on Friday. Like, I still think there will be some of the bubble guys in the lineup on Friday, but you'll see a significantly higher number of the NHL no doubters in the lineup come Friday night. So that's going to be interesting to see. Give us a call. The phone lines are open. It is the preseason, so it's usually a pretty thin night on the phone lines. But if you want to jump in, you can do so at 403-240-4444, or you can text us at 960-960. Your thoughts. What did you see in this game tonight from Jacob Pelche to Dustin Wolf to Hunter Brustevich to a whole lot more. Here's kind of what I guess observation wise. Let's start with this. Let's start with the save of the game, because Dustin Wolf got the start and went the full 60 in this game tonight. Save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. So Dustin Wolf gets the start this evening, guessing his final start of the preseason. Guessing we would see Vladar at least get two periods on Friday against Winnipeg, if not the full game. But Dustin Wolf tonight, and his save of the game comes in period number three.
Puck to the near corner. Ehlers, who's got a goal and an assist tonight, plays it left point to Morrissey. He moves it to Scheifele. Slides it down low. Vilardi spins and centers. Connor shoots. And Wolf makes a right pad save. And a beauty, stopping the Jets sniper.
That ends up being one of the 22 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight. He made 22 stops on 27 shots. And that does, unfortunately, does drop his save percentage a little bit. He came in with a 943, and he'll exit the preseason with a 900 save percentage after allowing 22 on 27. But that's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. But in saying all of that, I did not think that it was a poor night at all for Dustin Wolf. I thought that he played a pretty solid game, all things considered. And especially in that third period, I thought that he was dynamite through 40 minutes of play. And then especially in that third period, like, we're talking about turnovers galore that ended up in the back of Calgary's net. I mean, all three of those third period goals came on mistakes, you know, whether it was a bad rim from Miramanov on the Connor goal, or it was the turnover behind the net on the Coronado turnover behind the net on the Lundmark goal. It just was not a great night in that regard in the third period anyway. So the Flames puck management kind of dropped off a little bit as the night went along. And so I thought Dustin Wolf got a little, I don't want to say, it's a little harsh to say hung out to dry in the preseason, but definitely lack some of the help you'd be looking for as this game went along. So I still, nothing changes from the way I looked at things going into tonight. You know, Vix and I talked about it on today's show, like the PM show earlier today. And we were talking about, hey, if you're naming a number one or an opening night starter, maybe not a number one, because I don't think there will be a number one at any point this year. But if you're naming an opening night starter going into tonight, it was Dustin Wolf. And coming out of tonight, it is still Dustin Wolf. Now, I do think Dan Vladar's got a little bit of an opportunity to say something about that when he goes, presumably on Friday in the preseason finale. We'll see if that's going to be the way they go. But I think that now a solid performance from Vladar on Friday could change things a little bit. But I felt like Dustin Wolf still had a pretty solid night despite allowing the five goals on 27 shots. Okay, let's head back to Canada Life Center in Winnipeg. Let's get some post-game reaction. Not hearing from head coach Ryan Huska tonight. Instead, we're going to hear from associate coach Brad Larson. He spoke post-game following a 5-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. 7 down, 1 to go in the 2024 preseason.
Takeaways from this one tonight?
Well, I think we hung in there for two periods pretty well. I thought did a lot of good things. And just we ran out of gas there in the third. You can tell they turned it up, and we just didn't have an answer for it. Made some mistakes, and they make you pay for it.
Just, you know, maybe speak to the competitiveness your group showed, especially for the first two periods, you know, playing against a pretty veteran group.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there was lots to like there in the first two periods. We more than held our own, I thought. But, you know, that's why there's 60 minutes, right? You got to continue to do it. But proud of the group for pushing.
Any players who stood out in a positive way for you tonight?
Oh, I think lots of guys did. Like I said, we were a pretty thin lineup on veterans. And, you know, I'm not going to start naming names, but I thought as a group, I thought they responded really well coming in this building. It's a pretty good lineup.
And Tyson Barrie, I mean, he had a team high, I think, 21 minutes and 24. Mm-hmm. You know, on a professional trial contract, what are you seeing from him with, you know, a veteran presence on the ice?
Well, he comes as advertised, right? And I think he came in good shape. I think he's really good with the puck. skates well. You know, he has the power play dynamic. There's lots of things there to like about him.
What did you think of Kevin Ball in his preseason debut?
I thought he did a good job. You know, he missed some time there. New team, new systems, all that. First ace against a really good lineup. Thought he more than held his own. I thought lots to be excited about with him.
There you go. Brad Larson, Flames assistant coach. He did the post-game media tonight in Winnipeg following a 5-2 loss to the Jets with preseason game number 7 in the books for the Calgary Flames. Lots of things to dive into there. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. A few phone lines open if you want to chat tonight on our Flames Talk post-game show. Whatever you want to talk about as we move closer to the start of the regular season. And the text line open at 960-960. We'll get to the texts and phone calls in just a second. You heard him talk a little bit. And you heard Derek ask about Kevin Ball, who made his Flames preseason debut in this game tonight. And yeah, I thought, and Mick mentioned him a little earlier here on our Flames Talk post game as well. I thought Ball played himself a pretty solid game, all things considered, you know, especially in his first preseason game where he's a little bit behind the pace compared to a lot of the other guys. Just thought he was pretty solid, thought he was pretty buttoned up. And so a nice game for him in game one. We're expecting to see Ball play with Rasmus Anderson on Friday in the final preseason game. Rasmus Anderson, Mackenzie Weegar, those guys didn't travel. So we didn't see them in this game. So we didn't see the pairing of Anderson and Ball, but I think we will be seeing that come Friday night. And then you'll get an idea of what I think the Flames are looking at when it comes to their opening night top four on defense, Weegar with Miramanov, and then Ball with Anderson. So I'm excited and interested to see how that plays itself out. But yeah, I thought Kevin Ball had himself a decent first game in a Flames uniform, and he spoke post-game on the road in Winnipeg as well.
Take me through game one in a Flames uniform. Just how'd you feel out there?
All good. Kind of felt surreal, just, you know, changing it up and being with another team. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Paired up with Tyson Barry, a veteran guy who spent a lot of time in his league. You know, did you take anything away from him? How did you find the chemistry between you two?
That was pretty good. I mean, he's really smart, and he's just very poised back there. And you can see he doesn't really chase plays or, you know, chase at guys and let them bump it by him, give and go or whatever. So there's a couple things right there I could see right away.
You talked this morning just about you're feeling kind of up to speed as much as you could be with the amount of practice you've had. Mm-hmm. How did the legs feel out there, especially as the game wore on?
Legs were all right, but I thought just, you know, puck play and position-wise, I thought, you know, there was a bit of rust there, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be honest. I thought I was just hopping in there, and I was able to read plays, make plays, and gap up on guys a couple times, surf across a couple times, and a couple good takeaways, but then a couple things I could learn from, you know. I new system, so there was a couple times right away on the ice I just noticed I did something wrong and go back to the bench and check video and see, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. There's one on the PK, their first goal. You know, it's my first time doing the PK here, so it was different system, different strategy, right?
Yeah, they were working on the power play this week at camp too. Was there anything that they showed you that kind of surprised you a little bit, or it was kind of the game you expected?
From the
Jets, from the
lineup
they had.
No, it was to be expected. Like, I mean, they got a couple guys that have put up like 90, 100 points. So knew exactly what we were signing up for with this one, and especially with that power play. I mean, they dished it around and buried one, so that sucked, but live and you learn.
There you go, Kevin Ball post game as he played his first game in a Flames uniform, made his preseason debut with the team. Of course, he came over in the Jacob Markstrom trade in June. Didn't mind Ball on the blue line. I'll take a quick look at the final numbers. Brstevich ended up -3, but I don't think that was actually indicative of the way he played. I also actually thought Brstevich had himself a pretty decent night, was pretty poised, but at least two of those minuses came on egregious turnovers from other guys that just left him out to dry. So I thought Prestevich actually had a pretty decent game by the eye, even though that dash three doesn't necessarily scream all that loudly in a positive way. Up front, I did think it was Jacob Pelche's best game. We talked to Mick about that. I really like Connor Zary. I thought Zary was very, very impactful using his speed and was one of the guys that was most consistently generating offense. So I thought Zary had himself a pretty nice night. So that was good to see because he was playing center for the second time this preseason. So that was another player who stood out. I thought Cole Schwint had himself a pretty solid game, kind of in the mix to be one of those recall guys if somebody gets hurt, like if a center iceman gets hurt and all of a sudden the Flames are needing a number four center. I thought that Schwint handled himself pretty well. Mick named him hardest working Flame, and Schwint centered what I thought was the best line for the Flames tonight with Pelche and Ferk. So, you know, there were definitely some positives despite the fact that the Flames let this one get away on them in the third period. And honestly, the Jets with their big guns, that'll happen sometimes. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. More looks inside the Flames locker room as we continue. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. It's Steinberg along with you on your Wednesday night. This reads from Jeff in Lethbridge. Wolf probably wanted to make one more save at least. The Winnipeg vets were dynamite, and I wouldn't read too much into Wolf needing to make a few more saves. To me, you need to keep Pelche. Losing him on waivers would be a big mistake. If it comes down to him being a healthy scratch, so be it. He might need some time to come around. He's been injured often, and he was a first-round pick, although I'd like to see Hanzek in the lineup by merit, for example. Letting him start on the farm would not be a big deal. And I don't even know if those two things have to be mutually exclusive. Like, I think that you can have Hanzek on the opening night roster and Pelche on the opening night roster. Now, that might mean that you can't have a Klapka on the opening night roster, but, you know, sometimes you do have to make sacrifices, there's no doubt. It's a tough one, and I know the Flames are agonizing over this one as well. Definitely what we saw from Pelche tonight was a step forward, so that's good news. I did think Pelche was one of Calgary's better players in this game, so that's a step forward. Now, you make camp decisions based on a number of different things. You make camp decisions based on fit and reputation and NHL body of work. Like, you know, sometimes things aren't equal in pro sports, and you could have an awful camp, but if you're an established NHLer, an awful camp doesn't mean you're not going to, like, doesn't matter how bad a camp Mackenzie Weegar has, he's on the team. Doesn't matter how bad a camp that, you know, Michael Backlund has, he's starting the year in the NHL. So, you know, sometimes your track record, sometimes your body of work is enough to get you on the team. So sometimes that goes into it. Sometimes it's a fit thing, you know. You could easily make the argument that, say, Sam Hanzek has been a more impactful player in camp than Kevin Rooney. But if it came down to those two guys, well, Rooney's your fourth line center, Hanzek's not. So sometimes the fit plays into how you build your team. And then obviously there's the camp performance side of things. And I wonder how some of those factors will determine Jacob Pelche's final status on the team. Rosters are due on Monday. I think Pelche probably plays one more game. We'll see if he plays Friday against Winnipeg at home, but I think it would be in Calgary's best interest to put him back in. He did play well tonight, and if he plays well on Friday, I think all of a sudden the narrative changes a little bit because these are the two most important evaluating games. These are kind of like the final exams compared to coursework in my eyes, and so the final exams are weighted a little bit more, and if Pelche performs well against good Jets teams in back-to-back games like he did tonight, then I think you have to take that into account. And so I'm curious to see how it works itself out. I'm with that texter. I think it would be poor asset management to put him on waivers because I do think there is far too much exposure for him getting claimed, even though it's been a frustrating last year and a bit, even though the body of work this training camp has been somewhat underwhelming, I still don't think you should be putting a guy like that on waivers and potentially losing him. I would much rather see the Flames find out what Pelche is with him under their control than lose him and find out what he is, good or bad, with another organization. But we'll see how that plays itself out, right? This reads, I think it would be very disappointing for Hanzek, Klapka, or Coronado to see Pelche get a roster spot over them when he didn't show up until tonight. With the cap room to keep 23, there's no way in my view that Pelche should be anywhere but upstairs to start the year. For me, you've got to make room for Klapka on the fourth line. I think you drop Pospis over the fourth line center and make a wrecking ball line, if only in the short term, to make room higher up for Hanzek, but he has earned it. I don't mind that idea. I still think that we want to, we being everybody, but I still think the Flames coaching staff wants to see Pospisil down the middle with Mantha and Huberdeau. You know, we haven't seen a lot of that, partially because Pospisil got hurt a week ago. So I do think that we will see that one more time. My guess would be, and I don't know this for sure, maybe Mantha doesn't play because he played tonight, but my guess would be that we do see Pospisil down the middle Friday in the preseason finale. That all being said, I think Coronado's dropped off a little bit. Had a great start to training camp in the preseason. His last two games have been not so good. I thought he worked tonight, but I didn't think he was a big impact maker tonight. When it's all said and done, what were the final numbers here on Matt Coronado? Had four shot attempts, got one of those on net and two scoring chances. Did cause a turnover, or did commit the turnover that led to a Jets goal in the third period. I do think Coronado's game has dropped off a little bit. I'm a big fan of Matt. I really am. But if he starts in the American League, I don't think it would be a massive travesty. Hanzek, different story. Hanzek's been so good throughout the entire preseason, and it's been consistent. Good lineups, not so good lineups. He's been consistently one of their best players every single night. He's got one more opportunity to solidify himself on Friday, but I think it's a spot now where Hanzek has to drastically play himself off the opening night roster. And I think there's a pretty good chance the Flames are looking at it the same way. The fact that he didn't play tonight, yes, he was getting rested, but I don't know if you rest him if you're not leaning towards him being on the opening night roster, and I think by merit, he's absolutely earned it. What else we got here on the text line at 960-960? This comes from Jim, who says, I was impressed with Bean tonight. He reminds me of Brody in that he's not violent, but his skating and body position make him very hard to play against. Another point tonight, too. Mantha's starting to worry me a bit already. Hopefully just a case of a vet who isn't under pressure to make the team. Zeri's a really good center. I'd like to see him get some runway to develop. He's creative and responsible and could end up being a pretty good second-line center down the line. I feel for Wolf. They gave up way too many dangerous chances in the third, and there isn't much he could have done. He was really good in the first, I thought. So a few points there. I agree. I thought one name that I did not mention that I think we should have was Bean. Picked up the assist on the 1-0 goal, and I just thought he was around it offensively all night. I thought that he was one of those guys that you 5-on-5, you really liked the fact that, you know, he spent his entire night, it felt like, in the offensive zone. Just a 36.4% offensive zone start ratio, and Bean still a 75% possession rate. So that well exceeded his usage. Shot attempts at 5-on-5 when Bean was on the ice, 18-6 Calgary. Flames outscored the Jets 1-0 with him out there. Scoring chances were 9-5. High dangers were 5-2. I really liked Bean tonight, and that's a nice return for him after he missed about a week with a lower body injury. So good to see Bean come back. And again, like, Bean's in your top six. This is why the Tyson Barrie conversation is so hard for me, because if everybody's healthy and knock on wood, everybody remains healthy, you've got Uyghur with Miramanov. You've got Ball with Anderson. You've got Bean, probably with Pahal, who did not play tonight. So if you're signing Barrie to be a power play guy, where does he fit? You need to have, he needs to be in your top six to be a power play guy. He can't be a power play specialist if he's not in your 5-on-5 rundown, right? So this is the dilemma I have with Barrie, is where does he fit in your top six? And if he doesn't fit in your top six, well, then there's no way he can help you regularly on the power play. If you're going to sign him as a power play specialist to be a number seven and then jam up your defense depth chart, I don't know. I just, that's why I still have this dilemma when it comes to when it comes to signing Tyson Barrie. Like, I do think he would help the team, But do you want to sign the 33-year-old insurance policy that right now it feels like maybe doesn't have a spot in the top six? I'm really curious with how this one plays out. I agree, finally, on the Zary front. I still think, long-term, the guy who has not been a full-time NHL center on this roster, who profiles best long-term, big picture, as a full-time center, is Zary. With no knock on Pospisil and no knock on Sharon Govich, I just feel like Zary's your best bet long-term to develop into an effective and you know, dangerous center iceman. He's probably not your franchise number one guy, but I think he could be a pretty good number two center. So I think more time down the middle would be helpful for both the Flames and for Connor Zary. This one from our buddy Dylan in Revy. Honestly, you can't blame Wolf on any of those. I do think he had a chance on two of them, but the other ones were the team being outclassed and Wolf being left out to dry. Watching him track and shadow pucks is fun. Also, Hunter and Zary really looked good. Pelche was maybe a little better than okay. The preseason has officially become old. Well, more than anything else, I really, really agree on the front of, yes, the preseason starting to feel old. But one more game to go, and I will say, lots of preseason games, but the Flames are using them to their utmost. Keep them coming on the text line at 96960 and get in line on the phone lines. Your phone number is 403-240-4444. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat some soon-to-be regular season hockey. Camp battles into the final few days of training camp, final few days of the preseason. You can call now at 403-240-4444. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Flames fall 5-2 to the Winnipeg Jets in preseason game number 7. Let's kick it off on the phone lines by saying hello to Jay tonight. What's going on, Jay?
Hello, Mr. Pat. I was wondering if you think Sharky's a 40-goal scorer this season.
I mean, I don't think it is completely out of the question. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, yes, I think he's going to do it. I do think Sharon Govich is probably their most dangerous goal-scoring threat, and especially if he's on the wing, I think that he is a guy that absolutely can flirt with 30 on an annual basis. You know, 40 is kind of reserved for the highest of the high-end scorers in this league. And so could he approach that one or two times? I don't want to put a ceiling on the guy, but I don't know if I see him being a perennial 40 guy, but I think he absolutely flirts with 30 on an annual basis for most of his contract here. And if on one year he jumps into the closer to 40 mark, that wouldn't surprise me.
Cool. Another question is, where do you think he lines up on the lineup? Like, where is Sharky going to end up?
I think my guess would be he starts the year with Kadri and Kuzmenko. That would be my guess based on how training camp has gone. And I know Sharon Govich has spent some time down the middle. He spent some time with Huberdeau, all that type of stuff. But I do think kind of the most consistent look that we've seen is him on the left side, Kadri in the middle, and Kuzmenko on the right. And honestly, that feels like a pretty dangerous kind of number one offensive line. And I could see Sharon Govich being pretty dangerous from that spot.
Cool. My final question for you is, where does Sam Honzik end up on this lineup?
I think there is a decent chance that if he starts in the NHL, which I think he's got a very good chance of doing, that he starts on the fourth line. And while that isn't super ideal for a guy that has a lot of offensive upside, as a 19-year-old playing with maybe it's Rooney and Lomberg, for instance, you know, that's not like the sexiest of combinations if you're a guy like Honzek, but you give him some penalty kill time, and he's excelled killing penalties this preseason. Maybe you give him some power play two time, and now all of a sudden, like, 9 minutes maybe turns into 13 minutes, and then you've got the option on nights where other guys aren't going, and Ryan Huska has done this routinely as head coach. When other guys aren't going, he'll bump players up and you know, reward players with more ice time. So, you know, on some nights, maybe that 13 turns into 15 or 16. So if Honzek does start with the team, and I think he's got a good chance of doing so, I think I wouldn't write off the possibility of him starting on the fourth line.
Cool. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate the call, Jay. Thank you very much. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a 5-2 Flames loss on the road in Winnipeg in preseason game number 7. Let's say hello to Matt. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Pat. How you doing this evening?
First good. How are you?
Caller, so this is exciting.
Well, welcome aboard. Well.
This is exciting. Yeah, just really kind of quick question for you. Based on kind of how you've seen the young guys play in the preseason, and I guess also how the veterans maybe have played as well and kind of looking ahead to the year, is that kind of going to determine the path where you're going to see those young guys kind of move up potentially in the lineup throughout the year? That's the only kind of question, and more of a, I guess, longer-winded question as well. But we'd just kind of love to get your thoughts on that, especially with you see guys like potentially Coronado and Hanzek maybe moving up in the lineup, maybe sitting potentially higher up in the lineup on the team versus kind of that bottom six role. I don't know. Just love to get your thoughts on that.
Can you just flesh it out a little bit more for me if you can, Matt? Like in I think I get the gist of your question, but like, okay, just go back and flesh it out a little bit more in terms of like what the, just so I can try to answer it as best as possible.
For sure. So looking at kind of your top six right now, you know, a guy like Coronado is probably, you know, would be kind of better fit in that top six versus in the bottom six, kind of just given his offensive potential, right? So is kind of his potential in terms of moving into that spot this year, would that, I guess, kind of depend on how that top six plays throughout kind of that first maybe couple
potentially
weeks of the year?
Yeah, okay. Now, okay, so I just wanted to make sure that I knew exactly what
for
you
sure,
were
sorry.
Getting at. No, no, all good. I just wanted to, I'm easily
rookie,
confused.
Rookie on the line, so no, my bad.
No. I'm very easily confused, so don't worry about it. I think there's a few things. First of all, I think with this Flames team, there's less of a delineation between top six and bottom six and more top nine and fourth line. I really do think that. I take a look at the way that this team might shape up, and like if Pospisil centers Huberdeau and Mantha, then you've got the Backlund line on the Kadri line. Like that's a top nine, and there's not really a set 1-2-3 there. So I see it less of a delineation between top six and bottom six and more a top nine situation for Calgary. In saying that, I still think ideally both Hanzek and Coronado in your top nine is the way to go. Now, there's a few things that I think could open the door for that to happen. Absolutely, what you're saying, if all of a sudden, whether maybe it's Pospisil isn't getting the job done at center, or a Mantha's struggling, or a Kuzmenko's struggling, I don't know, then I think that all of a sudden you could start to see some things change in that regard. Knock on wood, but injuries happen. This is a very physical sport, and injuries are going to happen as the year goes along, and bumps and bruises are going to happen, and that's a way to open the door for either of those two guys to move up the lineup. And then finally, I mean, Kuzmenko has 1 year left on his deal, and while I don't think it's completely out of the question that they think about extending him, there's still a large potential or a sizable potential that they move him. The same is true with Mantha and maybe some others. So there's a number of different ways over the course of a 7-month, 82-game season that you could see guys get moved into more high-profile spots or higher leverage spots. So I one of the ways, definitely, yeah, if guys are underperforming, I really believe that Ryan Huska will move things around, and whether it's game-to-game or in-game, we'll promote guys who are going better.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I think that answers the question really well. Appreciate that, Pat. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm a potential guy, so I'd love to see kind of guys like that get the opportunity, and that's what I really like about Huska is I think he, like you said, he gives kind of kids that are performing all that opportunity. So hopefully get to see that a little bit this year. Anyways, enjoy your night, and appreciate the opportunity.
Call back anytime, Matt. Good stuff, man.
Appreciate it. Take care, Pat.
Okay, you well. You as well. Be well. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 5-2 loss in Winnipeg. You can call now if you want to chat on our Flames Talk post-game show. You can text now at 960-960. Lots of text to get to still as we move on this Wednesday night. Anand is with us on our Flames Talk post-game phone lines. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you. Yeah, decent gameplay today. Like you said, Pelche had a couple good chances to look at, And then, not the best game, but definitely something to see how our youngsters are playing against a well-dressed Jets team. I actually put a bit of a lineup together, like a mock lineup. Would you be able to help me and see if I have the right basis or give me a grading on or your thoughts on based on these lines?
Yeah, sure. I can try anyway.
All right, my first line would look like what you told me already. So Sharangovic, Kadri, Kuzmenko.
Okay.
The second line, I have Hanšek, Backlund, Coleman.
Okay.
On the third line, I have Huberto, Pospisil, Manta.
Okay.
And on the fourth line, I have Lomberg, Zari, and Klapka.
So you have Zari in the middle there?
Yeah.
And Lomberg. The only thing I don't love about that, is I don't love Zeri as your number four center. And I think I think you lose a significant amount of your offense if you have Zeri playing that far down the lineup. Like to me, I think Zeri does profile long-term as a center, but not a number four center. I would much rather have Zeri playing further up the lineup. And I think he's earned that opportunity. He was there, you know, outside of Kadri and Sharangovic, he was probably their most dynamic offensive guy last year. And you take his speed, you take his creativity, you take his ability to drive wide and then move inside away from the top nine. I think it's I think it's too big a loss just to fill a number four center role. Like you don't have Kevin Rooney in there, and that's fine. I don't mind Rooney not being in there. I just don't love Zeri as the number four center.
Yeah, the only thought I came across, because Zari, like you said, he hasn't gotten much ice time on center yet. So maybe first couple of games, put Zari in there and see how that goes. That was kind of my thought line.
Yeah, I think you could also experiment, if you were going to do that, you could experiment with Pospisil as your number four center as well. I kind of feel like Pospisil's game translates better to that than Zeri's does, especially with Lomberg and Klapka. Like if you were to put Pospisil between Lomberg and Klapka, like that's a pretty heavy and menacing feeling fourth line that can play a little bit too. Like not only are they gonna run you out of the building potentially, but they also can play a little bit. We know Pospisil's got a high level of skill. We know Klapka's pretty gifted at finding soft spots in and around the net. Lomberg's motor never stops. So I actually like that. I would prefer, honestly, if we were going down that direction, Annette, I would prefer swapping Zeri and Pospisil.
Zeri and Pospisil, okay, gotcha. And then for defense-wise, I have, I think, almost the same thing you said. I think coming out of this, I don't know yet. And like you said, it might be a last-minute thing. But I don't know if Barry will get a contract signed, even though he has been good so far. But I think it will look like Vigor, Miramano, Ball, Anderson, and Bean and Pahal.
That would be my top six. Exactly, NN. That's how I would do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Flames are going to go down that road exactly. Like, tea leaves would suggest they are. You don't sign Bean to the deal you sign him to have him be your number seven. And that is where it becomes a little bit more or a little bit less. It makes less sense to sign, at least in my eyes, it makes less sense to sign Barry to a deal if he's going to be number seven on your depth chart. If there was clearly, even if there was an injury and it was going to be clear that Barry was going to spend some time consistently in the top six, I'd be way more in favor of doing it. And it's not like I'm opposed to signing him. I just wonder how he's going to be able to help you if he's your number seven. And then if he's your number seven, then guys like Tenorti and Hanley are behind him. And now all of a sudden your American League depth chart is all jammed up, and that can start to get in the way of playing time for guys you need to play, like Grishnikov and Brestevich and Poirier and guys like that. So it's a very strange situation, and it's why I'm really curious to see how the Barry story plays itself out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it might be a last-minute thing like you have been singing, or maybe as well. And then finally, I have so just for the Philadelphia game, our home opener, I have Wolf starting and Vladar as backup. What do you think on that?
For like opening night?
Yeah, opening night. Yeah,
That's how I would do it. And I do think, as good as Cooley's been, as good a story as Cooley is, and as high as the Flames are on Cooley, I still think Cooley's your number three. And eventually, I think Cooley will find himself, don't know how long, but for some time playing with the Wranglers down there with Ignatiev. But it doesn't mean that that's a permanent thing. But I do think at some point the Flames will almost have no choice but to put Cooley on waivers.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. What do you think overall grading on my roster? Would you be able to give a quick grading on my mock lineup?
I would say I liked your D. I liked your goaltending. Maybe, I don't know, if it were me, I don't know, I'd give it like an A minus, a B plus, something like that.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, good to know. All right, thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it. And then we have one more preseason game on Friday. I think we'll see you closer to somewhat of my lineup and then closer to what we say. So let's look forward to that. All right, have a great Wednesday and looking forward to Friday. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Anand. Appreciate it, man. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 as the Flames fall 5-2 in Winnipeg to wrap up the road portion of their preseason. One more home game still to go, and that is on Friday when they host the Winnipeg Jets once again. My name is Pat Steinberg. Phone lines are open, so it's 403-240-4444. The text line is open as well at 960-960. Would love to hear from you on our Flames Talk postgame show. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is your Flames Talk postgame show, and lots more still to come. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Seven down, one to go this preseason as the Flames wrap up their road portion of the exhibition schedule. The 5-2 loss on the road in Winnipeg tonight. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday evening edition of your Flames Talk postgame show. Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, if you want to jump in on the phone lines, call now, 403-240-4444. Last call for phone calls. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you shortly, but last call if you want to chat with us via that method. Text line remains open. Keep them coming at 960-960. Plenty more text to get to on this Wednesday night as well. It's time for tonight's adjustment of the game, powered by Equus, delivering power to co-op members throughout Alberta. Choose community. Choose Equus, and the adjustment of the game is easy for me. And it's the night that that we saw from Jacob Pelche. And Jacob Pelche was one of the best players on the ice for the Flames tonight at a time when they absolutely needed it. 5-on-5, the numbers for Pelche, he was an 83.3% possession player. 5-on-5 shot attempts for 10-2 Calgary with Pelche up there, out there. The Flames outscored the Jets 1-0 with Pelche on the ice. Scoring chances were 5-2, 2-1 at high danger. So I thought Pelche made more of an impact than we've seen him make at any point in this preseason or training camp. Individually, Pelche finished the night with 2 shots on net, 2 shot attempts, 1 scoring chance. So I just thought it was exactly the type of night that you needed from Jacob Pelche, where he was just a little bit more around it and a little bit more impactful, a little bit more noticeable. I don't know if it's enough for him to avoid going on waivers. As much as I don't think putting him on waivers is the way to go, I don't think the Flames have made their decision, and honestly don't think they should have made their decision by now, which there's still a potential here that he goes on waivers and goes to the American League. The problem is if he goes on waivers, I do think that there is a decent amount of exposure that he gets claimed. For sure, I don't know, but a decent amount of exposure, yeah. So him playing well in this game and then playing well again on Friday in the preseason finale, that to me is going to be really, really important. But a good start, and I thought that was a really much-needed game for Jacob Pelche tonight. So good on him. That's our adjustment of the game, powered by Equus. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room for a couple more looks. First of all, the line that Pelche played on tonight was him on the left with Cole Schwint in the middle and Martin Ferk on the right. Ferk scored the first goal for the Flames tonight as he redirected home a Jake Bean shot. That line was probably the best line all night for the Flames, spent the most time on the attack. Let's hear from Martin Ferk in what, you know, could very well be his last preseason game with the Flames this year. Decent chance that he's back in the American League at some point in the next 24 hours or so. And he signed a two-way contract, rather. I think an understanding that was probably the case. Doesn't mean it was a poor preseason or camp for Ferk. But here's Martin Ferk inside the Flames locker room tonight.
Martin, you guys dressed a pretty young lineup overall tonight. But just what did you make of the effort level this evening against a pretty veteran group?
Yeah, we play overall pretty good, in the third they score a couple more goals than us, but I think we did a pretty good job. We obviously knew the lineup, they were pretty good, but I think the guys did very well, and it's hard, right? They have a lot of experience, not too many guys play that many games, but I think it was overall pretty good, and it's just good learning and kind of good experience for us, for the younger guys, so who doesn't have as many games.
What did you make of your group's ability to kind of take advantage of chances when they came about, including your goal in the first period?
Yeah, I think we just stick with our system, whatever they told us to do, and kind of work, sucks the third period, but I think we played pretty even match, yeah, they were a little bit better here and there, but same for us, I think. So I think overall it was pretty good. We wish to score obviously more goals, but it's a preseason game, so you're still trying a lot of things, different lines and all that stuff, so I think overall pretty good.
Lessons you can take perhaps into Friday?
Friday probably going to be pretty good lineup for the Flames. So, it's, they know what they do, special teams, and 5-on-5. So I think they will do a pretty good job, I think, on Friday night and see how they end up the last preseason game.
That is Martin Ferk, one of your two goal scorers for the Flames tonight in Winnipeg. And one more look inside the Flames locker room. Connor Zeri, who was essentially the number one center for the Flames tonight, he centered that line with Anthony Mantha on the one side, and now I'm forgetting who is on the left side. That's okay. But he was the number one set. Oh, with Dryden Hunt. It was Hunt and Mantha flanking Zeri down the middle. And I thought Connor Zeri had some good offensive forays in this game, played with a little bit of speed. Didn't think that line was their best line tonight, but I didn't mind Zeri's game at all. And Connor spoke inside the Flames locker room tonight as well.
Results aside, Connor, what did you make of the opportunity to kind of play number one center role against a pretty veteran group?
Yeah, it was good. It was good to get back the NHL pace with them having a full lineup. So it was good to kind of get that under the belt. But obviously, it's tough. You never want to lose hockey games. I thought our first two periods were really good, and we lost our pace a bit in the third. And we still kept coming. We just lost for a second there, and they pounced on that. And that's what you get when you have a lot of veterans on that side.
It seems like the play almost slows down when the puck hits your stick, just watching it from above. Year two, just can you speak to maybe the confidence you have out there versus year one?
Yeah, no, I feel great. I think I had lots of confidence last year, so I think just coming into this year, building on that in the summer and really trying to show that throughout the preseason here and really play with pace. I've talked with Husk a lot about that. It's every day. You have to be good. You have to come with pace, and if your legs are going, the other things will fall into place. So I'm really trying to focus on that right from the start.
Lessons you can take away from this one as a group heading into the finale on Friday?
Yeah, for sure. I think we definitely take the probably 55 out of those 60 minutes that we played really well, especially for this group in here. I was really proud of how we all played and how we all kind of came out and attacked them. I think the first minute of the game, we kind of were like, oh, crap, okay, we got some pace here, and they came to play. So I think we matched that really well throughout most of the game, and I think that's good for us moving forward. It's the little details that you kind of try and work out of your game and get those kinks out of there, and especially in the defensive zone where they were able to jump on those opportunities. And that's what you get in the NHL, right? Everyone's a good player. When you give them half a second extra from a mistake, they're going to capitalize. So I think just clean up those things through video and through these last few practices of camp in the last game is going to be big for us.
There you go. Connor Zeri post-game tonight following a Flames 5-2 loss on the road in Winnipeg. What's going on? It's Pat Steinberg along with you on this Wednesday night. The Flames wrap up their road preseason schedule with a 2-1-1 record. They've got one more home preseason game. They're 3-for-3 so far on home ice this year in the preseason, and we're now a week away from the regular season opener in Vancouver. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. This text on goaltending, which says, Vladar has been a good soldier. He's done everything the team has asked and acquitted himself well. He's the heir apparent for the starting job. Just like the Flames hired Huska for the coaching job and not the rising star, Mitch Love, who's now the assistant in Washington, Vladar will get the first opportunity to be the starter, and so we'll start game one, and he'll get the home opener if he wins versus Vancouver. Now, there's nothing to say that Wolf can't wrestle the starting position from him during the season, but make no mistake that Dan will get the first crack, barring giving up 10 on Friday. And that might be right. If I don't... What I do is I give opinions, and my opinion is that I would go with Dustin Wolf to start the year as of right now. Now, I will say Dan Vladar has been very good himself. I want to see Dan on Friday, and if Dan has himself a better game than Wolf just had tonight, then maybe I am leaning towards Dan. But as of right now, the evening of October 2nd, after Wolf's third start, I'd be starting Wolf in game one against Vancouver on Wednesday night of next week. This says, do you think the Canadians would trade Laine for Huberdeau? They'd be around the same value right now. That comes from Biff. No, I don't think they would. And I know that, you know, there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there in Biff's text. But no, I think they signed Laine for a reason, or acquired Laine, rather, for a reason. I don't think that that is something that would end up coming to pass. This reads... I'm curious to hear your opinion on what a successful season would be for the Flames this year. Obviously, ultimately, the goal every season is to make the playoffs and win the cup, but that feels like a long shot this year, to say the least. With that in mind, what is a realistic success for the Flames? For me, a successful season would include veterans, including Huberdeau and Kadri, do not meaningfully regress. There's certainty around goaltending and the goalie of the future. Young players across a variety of roles have the opportunity to showcase their abilities, and the organization has increased certainty of what their ceiling is, and then anybody but the Oilers win the cup. Well, I agree wholeheartedly on the last one, for sure. A few things. I mean, number one thing for me is just continue to build and set follow through on what you want the identity of this team to be. And I think they have started to build an identity through training camp in the preseason. And so I think that would be number one, is like continue to build on that and continue to set the foundation in that regard. I like the idea about the veterans. I think a part of a successful year would be specifically Huberdeau having his best season as a member of the Flames, whether that means 65 points or 75 points, just more impactful, more dangerous on a regular basis. That would be, I think, part of a real successful year. But the two most important things, and the texter put them both in there, the two most important things for me is, yes, more certainty in net. I think the most positive thing that we could see, just based on age and, you know, ceiling and all that type of stuff, the most positive outcome would be Dustin Wolf starts to show that, hey, this guy looks like he can be a number one in the league. I don't think we're going to see Dustin start 55 or 60 games, but in the, say, 37 or 38 that he gets this year, he puts up the type of numbers that you'd be like, yeah, you know what? And even not just the numbers that we're seeing on the outside, some of the more advanced numbers that guys like Kevin Woodley talk about, or what we're seeing with our eyeballs, and just like, hey, this guy looks like he can be Calgary's number one for the future. That is a very important tenet. And then the other one is, yeah, more opportunity for youth and more growth and development from youth. So a step forward and another good year from Pospisil and Zeri. You know, I think it would be important for guys like Hanzek and Coronado to show that they can play in this league, and whether or not they're full-time NHLers, you know, for Coronado, let's hope that it's a step forward from last year. And for Hanzek, well, he hasn't played pro hockey yet, but hopefully, you know, we even see some growth from Hanzek as the year goes along, and some, you know, some recalls that when they jump into the lineup, even if they're not permanent, that you see some promise from a Brustevich or a Grushnikov or whoever it might be. So those would be some of the things that I would suggest are really important in terms of this being a successful season. You know, standings-wise, obviously that matters, and it matters most to the coaching staff and the players in that room. But if I'm removing myself from the standings, and I'm not suggesting the Flames are going to be awful this year, because I honestly don't think they're going to be as bad as some people think, but those are some of the other things that outside of standings would make it a really successful year for me. This reads, what are the thoughts on Poirier to this point? Do you think he's made any steps, as well as, other than the obvious call-ups, who do you see being the next Solovyov, Kuznetsov? Would that maybe be Stromgren? On the front of Poirier, it's tough because he had so much of his year wrecked by that really gross injury last year. He got cut in the upper arm by a skate. It was pretty serious, and he lost a good chunk of his season last year because of it. I think that prior to the injury, Poirier was making some big steps in terms of his overall game. I don't know if we've seen that yet this training camp or preseason. I still think, honestly, Poirier is another couple of years away from being comfortably an NHLer if it gets there. I still think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in his all-around game. The offense is still a very, very big part of it, but I still think to be a regular in the NHL, some more work's going to be done, need to be done on the all-round game. As for the obvious call-ups, I don't know who the obvious call-ups are in this texter's mind, but some of the names that I'd be interested in, Brustevich and Grushnikov for sure, depending on what need there is. A left-side guy would be Grushnikov. A right-side guy would be Brustevich. I'd be really interested in that. Up front, Sam Morton, if there's a need at center. That intrigues me down the line. So those would be a few names in terms of some other names that could be call-ups. This reads, who of all the Flames have to clear waivers? Well, it's probably easier for me to tell you what players don't need to clear waivers, because most players in the NHL do need to clear waivers. Waivers are determined by your experience, your pro hockey experience. They're not determined by a one-way or a two-way contract. So waiver-exempt players are all younger players. So right now, the waiver-exempt players on the team are Matt Coronato, Dustin Wolf, obviously all the draft picks this year, some of the names that would be of note that are waiver exempt. Sam Hanzek is waiver exempt. Sam Morton is waiver exempt. Adam Klapka does not need waivers to go down. Hunter Brustevich does not need waivers. So those are a few of the names that don't need waivers. Anybody else that's a pretty significant name at this point does need waivers to go down to the American League. This reads from James in Regina. Pat, if they go with 14 forwards on the 23-man, do you think they could keep Hunt, or is he destined for waivers? I do think that Hunt is probably going to start the year on waivers and likely the American League, and that's not a knock on him at all. I actually think Dryden Hunt has had a very, very nice training camp. He's been very good in the preseason, consistent in what he is and within himself in what he is. So I actually think he's one of the guys that I would put in like my pros column in terms of who's stood out positively and who's had a nice preseason and training camp. But I just don't know if there is a easy spot for him to win on this roster with some of the other guys who have stood out more. He hasn't been as good as Hanzek. He probably hasn't been as good as Klapka. So I think Hunt's on the outside looking in, and that's really by no fault of his own. And I think Hunt is an easy recall when you need somebody in the bottom six later on this year. I think he'll clear waivers. He's 29 years old. I think Dryden Hunt's a really good guy to have in the organization, but my gut would be that he starts the year in the American League. This reads, Pat, I would not sign Barry at all. They have plenty of D and have to give the other guys a chance. I don't agree with Barry as a power play specialist anymore. He's been healthy scratch numerous times last year. I'd even throw out the notion that maybe put Rooney on waivers. Thoughts on that? Making room is my thing. Rooney's been fine in this camp, though, and I don't think Rooney at this point, I don't think there's anybody that is rife to take Rooney's spot. That's the only thing. Who is the number four center on this team? I don't think Morton is quite ready, and I think him starting in the American League is the way to go. I don't think Schwint is an upgrade on Rooney at this point. So for me, Rooney's the perfect guy to have as your number four center. And you know what? If there are nights where he has to be healthy scratched and somebody else moves in there, like a Pospisil or something like that, you can work with that. But I don't think the camp that Rooney has had based on what he is on this team, a good penalty killer and a number four center. I don't think he's had the type of camp that would mean you're going on waivers and you're not ready. Like, I think he's been just fine in camp. I know there's a lot of people that, you know, don't like the fact that he was re-signed, and that is what it is. You're entitled to your opinion, but I just don't know if there's a better option right now to fill the role that he fills of playing those 8-9 minutes as the number four C and playing some really heavy penalty kill time. This says, evening, Pat, with all the Tyson Barry conversation, if Barry signs, does this mean that there's a departure for Anderson coming? Seems like Barry would fit into his spot. Obviously a lesser player at this point, but it's intriguing with all the right-hand defense in the system as well. Exciting times, go Flames. No, I if they sign Barry, I don't think it is an indication at all whether or not they're looking at re-signing or moving Rasmus Anderson. In fact, I think if they sign Barry or not, the goal would still be to extend Anderson if they're able to. And remember, Anderson's not on an expiring contract. He still has 2 years left on his deal. So it's not like you're trading a pending unrestricted free agent, right? There's still time after this season left on Anderson's deal. So I don't think that there is a correlation of signing Barry and what they're going to do with Anderson. I think that there's, you know, I think the Anderson situation is going to work itself out independently of what they do with Tyson Barry. This one from Ash, who says, decent performance by the Flames considering the lineups. I haven't been overly impressed with Mantha so far. I'd also like to see Hanzek crack the top nine. Pospisil center the fourth line with Lomberg and Klapka, and Rooney and Pelche be the extra two forwards for the opening night. This, of course, means Hunt and Doer on waivers. I don't mind that. You know, tea leaves wise, I don't know if that's what we're going to see, but I don't mind that look. Like, as I said earlier, Pospisil, Lomberg, and Klapka is a fourth line. That's just a straight up menace line. I'd really enjoy seeing that. We'll see. We'll see if Pospisil down the middle with Huberdeau and Mantha is going to be a thing when we get to the start of the regular season. This says, I think they brought in Cooley to absorb the losses if the Flames are unable to gel in the regular season. You don't want to shell shock Wolf. Also, Flames forwards have cost him games last season, crashing into him. Kadri cost him 2 wins alone last year. Wolf may need to get stronger before he'll dominate the NHL if that's his goal. Coronado also needs a little more man strength. This says, send Rooney down to the minors for good. I think that I've said my piece on Rooney. And finally, this says, to counter that texture about Barry, a PTO like him can turn into a free draft pick at the deadline. I agree, but how do you turn him into a free draft pick if he's not playing and I don't see where he fits in the top six? Who's out? Unless it's Pahal, but I think Pahal has outplayed Barry in training camp, and Pahal brings something on the right side that they don't necessarily have. Now, what you could do is you could rotate through Pahal and Barry. That would be something that I think you could maybe do, and that could possibly be a solution to the whole thing if, you know, Pahal goes in some circumstances, Barry goes in others. But I don't know. I'm not opposed to them signing Barry at all. I just, it is not a tailor-made situation to sign a defenseman on a PTO. Not like it's a bad situation. It's just not as obvious as it would be in other years or with other teams or other situations, at least in my eyes. Great stuff on the text line so far at 960-960. Always text line open on your Flames Talk post-game show. Always phone lines open on your Flames Talk post-game show at 403-240-4444. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Flames wrap up the road portion of their preseason schedule with a 5-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Our final call tonight is Niels, who joins us right now on Flames Talk postgame. What's up, Niels?
Hey, it's great to have hockey back. I tell you, I'm really excited about it. But I would like to say that the excitement that the Flames are creating with these young players, and that even though it's only preseason, gives me optimism for the coming season. I would like to see the Flames at the end of October being a 500 or above club. I think they got the ability to be that way if you look at the schedule that they have, and then kind of take it from there. And these first and second year players that are working their buttons off trying to earn a spot on there. I hope that enthusiasm continues from them throughout the year, whether they're playing, you know, for the Wranglers or that they're playing on the big club. I agree with you on not putting Rooney on waivers. I think the guy's a solid guy. And these veterans, you can sit them down for a couple of games if you have to, and they don't lose the momentum. And that he knows his role. He steps in. You don't have to teach him a darn thing, you know? And in goalie, I agree with you. I think Wolf has deserved the opportunity to start game one. I expect that if both goalies stay healthy, that they're kind of probably split the games down the middle pretty close to it. And whoever's riding a hot hand, that's who you play with. I think Conroy and I think Coach Huska have done a fantastic job of bringing these kids together with the veterans. And I think there is some enthusiasm in there. And I think the Flames were predicted to be below 27th in the NHL. I think, you know, unfortunately for number one overall draft pick, but I think they're going to be substantially better than that. So I wish them a great season. I live out on the coast now, and I will be at the game on Wednesday night.
Oh, nice.
In Vancouver at the phone booth. Yes, I am looking so forward to it. And that. So I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, the phone-in shows and that. And I listen to you guys all the time just to catch up on the Flames. And I just want to say one thing before I go.
Sure.
When Johnny Gaudreau passed, I just want to say how Sportsnet 960, you guys handled it with such class and dignity, and the people that you brought in and the stories that were shared in that. And as tragic as it was, I really gained a lot of respect for the young man. And, you know, hockey's going to miss him dearly.
Well said, my friend. Well said.
And that. So all the best for a great season, Pat. You've been doing it for like ever. And my grandkids one day will probably end up tuning in to listen to you as well. Keep up the great work. Let's have a good season.
Good stuff, Niels. Be well. Hey, enjoy the game next week.
I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye-bye. Thank you, Niels. And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight as well. Great stuff on the text line. Great stuff on the phone lines. Hey, preseason, we've already got it going. And you know, once the regular season hits, the phone lines multiply by 3 or 4. The text line gets that much more jammed as well. Preseason, yeah, we're interested and everybody's into it, but it's still not the regular season. We all know that. Final summary time as we start to move towards the end of our Flames Talk postgame on this Wednesday night. 5-2 loss in Winnipeg. Here's how this game went tonight. As Calgary actually opened the scoring on the road, as Martin Ferk redirected home his second of the preseason to give the Flames a 1-0 lead at 8:04 of the opening period. Jake Bean, Cole Schwint, the assist. Winnipeg equalizes fairly shortly afterwards, though, on a Nikolai Ehlers rocket on the power play. Ehlers gets his second of the preseason from Gabe Vilardi and Mark Scheifele at 10:47. The 94 seconds later, Jets score again. Nino Niederreiter left all alone and gets lost in amongst the Calgary defense, and Niederreiter roofs his first of the year on the backhand to give the Jets their first lead, first of the preseason rather, for Niederreiter from Ehlers at 12:21. Flames get that one back before the end of the first, though. Justin Kirkland on a goalmouth scramble picks up his second of the preseason. Hunter Brustevich with the assist at 17:55. We had a 2-2 tie after 20. No scoring in the second period, and then a much more veteran-heavy Jets team with a good chunk of their big guns in the lineup went to work in the third period, kind of open this game up. Starting with the go-ahead goal, Niederreiter again makes it 3-2 at 6:28. His second of the night, second of the preseason from Adam Lowry and Vilardi. Then Simon Lundmark makes it 4-2 into the back half of the third. Lundmark's first of the preseason from Brad Lambert at 14:17. Then 2.5 minutes later, Kyle Connor with an absolute rocket to put this one away for the Jets. Connor with his second of the preseason to make it 5-2. Mark Scheifele and Vilardi the assists at 16:47, which gets us to our final of 5-2. Final shots were 27-18 in favor of Winnipeg. Calgary goes 0-2 on the power play tonight. Winnipeg 1-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number three, Nino Niederreiter. Number two, Gabe Vilardi. And the number one star tonight was Nikolai Ehlers. Your hardest working flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Cole Schwint. With the loss, the Flames fall to 5-1-1 this preseason. And with the win, the Jets improved to 2-2-1 this preseason. These two teams wrap up their respective exhibition schedules against one another Friday at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. So both teams wrapping up their preseason on Friday night. That is the final summary. Now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our reporter Aaron Vickers, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, it's finally here, the preseason finale on Friday night. We've got it for you in preseason game 8 of 8 for the Calgary Flames. It's a home game at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, which means a 7 o'clock face-off. We're on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Wednesday night. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Winnipeg. Flames fall 5-2 to the Jets in preseason action. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.